Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court sidestepped a pro-life speech case, but this issue is still ongoing, and the conflicts in some of the court's precedents need to be resolved. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Now, Matt, this is particularly timely that we talk about this, as tomorrow is the National Sanctity of Human Life Day.
Yeah, January 22, 1973 is the day that Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton were delivered from the U.S. Supreme Court, and it allowed abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. It's a terrible decision.
It's been 48 years since that decision.
48 years, and tens of millions of babies have tragically lost their lives in a very brutal fashion.
More than 62 million, unfortunately.
So many pro-lifers around the country, we represent a number of them, want to go outside of abortion clinics to provide prayer and resources and support and literature to the mothers and their families about alternatives to abortion.
And so many children are saved as a result, and many mothers come to Christ as a result of this.
And these abortion clinics, they know that, and they want to stop these pro-lifers from getting anywhere near any individual. I don't know of any that we have been working with for a long, long time that are violent. They are not going to get in the face of individuals. They're just there to pray and provide support. And so in this particular situation, in Pittsburgh, the Supreme Court declined to hear the case of Bruny versus City of Pittsburgh. And what Pittsburgh did is they created a 15-foot buffer zone outside of, quote, medical facility entrances. But the city chose to only paint the zones on the area of the street or the sidewalk around two of Pittsburgh's abortion clinics. And they then enforced the ban against pro-life speech only. The ban on free speech and those handing out literature was banning all of that avenue of communication, and this was information that they were trying to inform the pregnant women of resources available for them.
Yeah, they were even including prayer in that, handing out resources, but yet you could talk about other subjects in those zones.
Yeah, and despite the language of the ordinance, how it was applied only to pro-life speech, and it allowed non-pro-life speech. The lower courts tried to change the actual wording of the language, and they interpreted the ordinance in such a way that the pro-life speech was permitted in some circumstances. And the lower courts also, in doing that, did not apply the Supreme Court's more recent precedent, which struck down restrictions on speech in the Reed versus Town of Gilbert case, and pro-life speech outside of an abortion clinic in the McCullen versus Coakley case. Didn't apply those. Rather, it applied an older precedent known as Hill versus Colorado. Frankly, Holly, without getting into the weeds here, the older Supreme Court case of Hill versus Colorado conflicts with the newer Supreme Court cases of Reed versus Town of Gilbert and McCullen versus Coakley. Under those two cases, there's no way. In fact, McCullen is actually a buffer zone case.
So we have a conflict here with these cases, right?
Yeah, there's no way that a buffer zone could be upheld like this.
Oh.
But under Hill, you can stretch it to uphold a buffer zone. And yet, that is the conflict that needs to be resolved. The court decided not to take the case, not because there's not a need to resolve this conflict, but because of the unique situation in that particular lower court. Now, we're still litigating in Pennsylvania because we are in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Harrisburg adopted a virtually identical ordinance to what Pittsburgh did. And so we're litigating as well, and we'll be continuing to move forward with final judgment in the case and then eventually a trip to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is far from over. Justice Clarence Thomas actually agreed that the court should not take the case, but he said that the court should, in fact, take up an appropriate case to resolve the glaring tensions in our precedents, he said, and he pointed to the tension between Hill versus Reed and McCullen. So this case doesn't represent the fact that the Supreme Court agrees with buffer zones. They already struck down buffer zones. Right. In fact, I argued the very first buffer zone case at the U.S. Supreme Court in 1994, the Madsen versus Women's Health Center case. And there have been other cases that have been argued since then. The most recent buffer zone case is the McCullen case, striking it down. And this case obviously is critically important. But you know what we have in our other case in Harrisburg, that buffer zone essentially is extended up to 70 feet.
Can you imagine trying to talk to somebody 70 feet away? I mean, I thought the one in Pittsburgh was pretty outrageous with 15 feet, but now you're talking also 70 feet and trying to have a conversation with someone?
You can't, and that's exactly the point.
Exactly.
They don't want you to have a conversation.
Now, you could talk about what you have for lunch, but when you start talking about pro-life issues or saving a child...
You can't even really talk about what you had for lunch.
Really?
You can't talk about anything. Well, imagine yourself 70 feet away.
I know.
Imagine yourself 15 feet away.
You have to have a bullhorn yelling.
You have to... The people don't want to yell. They don't want to use voice magnification.
That's not part
that
of what
undermines
they do.
The whole point.
Right.
They want to just engage in conversation.
I mean,
and by the way, you cannot give a person a piece of literature when you're 15 foot, let alone 70 feet away. You can't give them a piece of literature if you're 6 feet away. Right. You have to be able to be close enough to hand them a piece of literature, and if they want it, they take it. If they don't, they don't. But these buffer zones are designed to prevent women from getting information, because the abortion clinics know that when women get information, whether it's a piece of literature, whether it's a consoling message, whether it's some other kind of message of help, whether it's an ultrasound, whether it's informed consent, that oftentimes they change their mind and they decide to keep their baby.
I mean, you think about like our clients and these other counselors, they're sweet people, and they have a heart for the Lord. They have a heart for life. And so they want to pray for these women that are going in, or give them an opportunity. Can I just talk to you and hear some information and offer them an alternative, a pro-life pregnancy center where they can go and have an ultrasound, where they can have support? Because many of these women go into these abortion centers thinking they have no options.
Yeah,
all they have to do is kill their baby and life will go on. Well, that doesn't happen ever. And so they need to know there's support there. People who care about you, care about your child, will help you. So there's no excuse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's why it's important to defend these sidewalk counselors. There's no question about it. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Part of the proclamation states, "I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather on that day in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of every or each human life." So that was Ronald Reagan, 1984, and we've had the Sanctity of Human Life Day every year, January 22. There are different days of the week, depending on when January 22 falls, that there's actually a March for Life in Washington, D.C. This year, the March for Life is going to be at the end of the month because there has been a complete ban on any gatherings until after January 20, the inauguration, and that March for Life has now been moved to the end of the month. I believe it's January the 29th. But on the Sunday of the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, people should gather together in their churches and pray in your homes that America returns to its core values of protecting life. I mean, life is at the very foundation of all of our rights. It is the right of all rights. Without the right to life, there is no right at all. I mean, there's no point in talking about freedom of speech or even free exercise of religion or any other freedom that you have, the right to own property. There's no point in it talking to a corpse.
Right. And you have to think about, we are accountable. We're held accountable before God. Whether, you know, someone has or hasn't had abortion, we're still, as the church, held accountable for the sanctity of life, because every baby, every person is created in His image, and His will is for life.
And we represent, of course, individuals all over the country that have engaged in and do engage in sidewalk counseling. And we're litigating those cases right now, including in Pennsylvania. in Harrisburg and also in the District of Columbia and elsewhere, as well as Sandra Merritt, the pro-life hero that gave the undercover videos that were completely legal showing Planned Parenthood and others harvesting and selling baby body parts, a gross operation. And now we're defending her in both civil cases as well as criminal cases just for her undercover investigative work, because Planned Parenthood and the state of California want to silence her. Continue to stand with us as we continue to stand for the sanctity of human life. LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.